On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Winning at all cost. It's a cultural value that is rather rampant in our society, at least at a certain level. We admire the likes of Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, a number of other great athletes for their dedication to win at all cost, even expending much of their time, their life away, in order to win rings and championships. We can even see it within the business world, this attitude of needing to win, no matter the cost. And it is something that permeates itself into our entire lives. And while not necessarily disparaging athletes or the business world, there is an important thing that I think, more important question, as I've once heard another priest mention. It's not so much what are we willing to do in order to win, but instead asking ourselves the question, for what are we willing to suffer defeat? As many of you know, I'm a big fan of the Lord of the Rings books, and this is really one of the central questions to the entire series. One of the primary characters in the book mentions that even if everything he loved was falling into ruin, that he would not use the Ring of Power, the most powerful object in the world, because ultimately the ring itself only has the power to corrupt, and that what he would become in using it would ultimately contradict everything that he holds dear. And I think this is an important lesson, as Tolkien was, of course, a great Catholic. Because for us, too, we have to ask ourselves that question. For what are we willing to suffer defeat? Because really, defeat stands at the center of our faith, along with victory. As we hear in our second letter from our second reading from the letter of St. John, he tells us that the victory and how we become victors is our faith, because Christ has conquered the world. And how did Christ conquer? Well, we see it as the first couple lines of our gospel today. It's rather fascinating. As soon as Jesus says to the disciples, "Peace be with you," he immediately shows them his hands and his side, the marks of his defeat, the ultimate defeat, the crucifixion, through which he suffered the greatest of tortures. He suffered mockery, being spat on, and he suffered ultimately death, the greatest of all defeats. And it is by that defeat, by death itself, that he defeats death. And he conquers the tomb, conquers sin and death itself. And he is granted victory by what? By entrusting himself entirely into the hands of his Father, entrusting himself to the power of his Heavenly Father to win all. And this is the important aspect for us to always remember. It is not about me. It is not about you. It's ultimately about what Christ has done for us. Too many of us put this pressure that unless we do this, everything will fail. Unless it's done this way, unless I win, it will fail. But the truth of the matter is that for what are we willing to suffer defeat? Are we willing to suffer defeat so that Christ can reign? Because ultimately, that's what our faith is about. Unless you lose your life for my sake, you will lose it. It's what our Lord tells us in Scripture. We are called to surrender all to him. What is ultimately, in my opinion, the core tenet of the spiritual life? It is ultimately trust and surrender to God. That is what the entirety of our spiritual life should be ordered towards. Not seeking some sort of spiritual high, not towards our own glorification, but instead, ultimately, our spiritual lives are ordered towards imitating our Lord's love on the cross, towards total trust in God's power to overcome all. This is the important element that we must remember in this season of Easter. That God's victory does not come about in the same way that many people would conceive in the world. It's not through my efforts, your efforts. It's no human task. But instead, it is the power of God and God alone to ultimately bring about that victory. That is how God operates. That is what this Easter season shows us. And in fact, it is all about trust. Because on this Divine Mercy Sunday, is that not what the Divine Mercy image invites us to? Jesus, I trust in you. Total trust and God's power to overcome, even if we suffer defeat, even if we fail. We ultimately are called to entrust ourselves totally to him. And I think this is even a relevant question because St. Faustina and what she communicates and what our Lord desired for the Feast of Mercy, that is this Divine Mercy Sunday, was obviously, throughout Lent, for people to receive our Lord's mercy in the sacrament confession. But on the Feast of Mercy itself, she notes that he wants to see, and what he notes to her, as he desires for deeds of mercy to be done. For mercy to be done, and it seems primarily in one's family and those closest to us. So return to that central point. Do I have to win? I think it's an important question to ask yourself in relation to your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your neighbor. Do I have to always be right? Do I have to win? Or am I willing to surrender? Am I willing to offer myself over? And to ultimately, in some way, suffer what feels like a defeat? To surrender myself even to my spouse, to the ones closest to me? Obviously not in a simple way. But ultimately, are we willing in those minor aspects of our life to surrender, to be merciful, to allow our Lord to work? That is ultimately what this Divine Mercy Sunday is about. It's supposed to be a feast of mercy, of thanksgiving for the mercy that he pours out upon us. But then also it's supposed to imprint, penetrate, and transform our hearts to be merciful as well, to show mercy to us, to those around us. That is what our faith calls us to. Because mercy ultimately requires us in some way to say, I don't have to win. I give up what I feel like I'm owed, injustice. That is what the Lord calls us to on this day. For what are we willing to suffer defeat, so that ultimately the victory of God in the resurrection and his mercy might reign over all?